1 Corinthians chapter 2. And in writing to the church at Corinth, last week Paul wrote in verse 1 of chapter 2, he said, "And I, brethren," you know, he's writing to a church that he had started years before this. He says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, I did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness," not in their weakness, but in his weakness. He was there in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." You know, we went through this. There's a lot there. You know, we see the Apostle Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament. He's talking about how when he went to preach in public, how he was literally shaking in fear. You know, but he trusted the Lord. But again, Paul had heard about people in this church proudly clinging to him as a teacher and putting him on a pedestal over other preachers and vice versa. Okay? And so he's brutally honest with them about himself. That's why he's saying this. Because they're elevating him to, like, you know, this. Some of them. Some of them are saying, you know, "I'm of Apollos and I'm following this guy and I just follow Jesus." And, you know, he didn't want believers to be so impressed with him or anyone else that they would put their faith in them instead of God and his message. Right? And people, we talked about this, people do that today, right? We elevate people up, you know, they're fans of people, celebrities, right? And where do you get the word fan from? Fanatic. And we know. Maybe we did that one time. I don't know. You know, fanatic about something or someone. You know, people want to be someone else. They start dressing like them and all this other stuff. And so that was happening back then with Paul and these guys. Yet even with that said, Paul says in verse 6, "However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor wisdom of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing." So even though Paul spoke against looking to the wisdom of men, he wanted the Corinthians to know that there was wisdom in his message because it was from God. And those who were mature in the faith would understand it. In verse 7, he says, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory." So Paul speaks of this mystery of God that was hidden. And what is this hidden secret? Well, it was God's plan of salvation for all people. And before any of the ages began, it's hard to understand, God planned to send his son to the cross to die for mankind's sins. Let's turn towards the back of our Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1. It's after Hebrews and James. 1 Peter chapter 1. And Peter, the Apostle Peter, writes in verse 18, he says, "Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers or your ancestors, but you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish or spot." And speaking of Jesus, he says in verse 20, he was indeed foreordained before the foundation of the world. He was ordained, or, you know, the plan was hatched before the foundation of the world. How is that possible? Because God knows eternity past and eternity present and future. So he foreordained the Lord even before the world was made. But again, that's hard for me to wrap my head around. I just got to trust his word that that's what happened. And he says, but Jesus was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest, or what's manifest? Revealed in these last times for you. Right? So even though Jesus came 2,000 years ago, he was revealed at that time for them and for us now. Because he's still alive. He's still alive. Now let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. So again, we're talking about what Paul was writing in Corinthians about, you know, the Lord's, this mystery, this secret, this hidden secret or plan. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, Paul again writes, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined to adopt us as sons by Christ Jesus to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. So here we go. He was ordained to, you know, be the Messiah before the foundation of the world. And here he's saying he chose us to be sons and daughters of his before. But that goes to speak of how salvation would be available to everyone. Okay? Now, so though originally unknown to humanity, right? Because, you know, in Genesis, with all of them, they didn't understand this plan of salvation. I mean, God told them, but they didn't understand the cross even throughout the Old Testament. You know, and then even into Jesus' time, the Jews who were waiting for the Messiah didn't think of it how he was, what his plan was when he did come. They came to think instead of that the Messiah would come to save them from their sins, they came to think that the Messiah would come to take them out of being under Roman rule. That's what they thought when Jesus came, some of them, that he was going to be this, you know, warrior with all this power and overthrow the Roman government. They totally lost it. But again, this plan was made before the foundation of the world. And so, though originally unknown to humanity, God's wisdom was never more clear and shown to men than in the person of the Lord Jesus. Yet Paul says, back in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, in verse 8, he says, you know, this plan of God, which none of the rulers of this age knew. They didn't understand God's plan the way he planned it. And he says, because if they had known the plan, they would not have crucified the Lord. So they thought they had all this great spiritual wisdom, but they didn't have any. As they rejected him as the Messiah. They rejected him as God's means of salvation. They still do, some of them. even though there's a lot of Jewish people who have come to faith in Jesus as the Messiah. A lot still do not. And it's crazy, you know, that they crucified him. And it's crazy because they thought they were doing God a favor by crucifying Jesus. That's how far. And then the enemy got in there. But God used the very thing, that very thing. They thought they were doing God a favor, but God used that very thing to bring forgiveness and salvation to those who would believe, even till this very day. Amen? Amen. They had no clue that they were really participating in God's plan. Has God's secret plan been revealed to everyone? No. It hasn't been revealed to everyone, but it's available to everyone. How do people get to know? Scripture says, how are they going to know without a preacher? So it's all on me? No. We're all called to be preachers in a sense, because we're all called to share the gospel. Go out and make disciples. It's not all on me. It's on all of us. How are they here? How are they here? In verse 9, Corinthians chapter 2, Paul writes, "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered in the heart of the man the things which God has prepared for those who love him." Now, I used to think this just talked about the unknown blessings that will someday be ours when we arrive in heaven. But Paul's main focus here is the world can't comprehend, or like I said, at that time, the world didn't comprehend the blessings of God through Jesus. And he says the human eye has not seen them. They didn't see it. They saw, but they didn't see. They heard, but they didn't hear. Did you know you can hear with your heart? Sure you can. But they saw with their eyes, but they were blind. They heard with their ears, but they were deaf. And they didn't have a heart. And that's why he says in verse 10, "But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit." So these things can only be known spiritually. You know, you could study the Bible, you could read it 100 times, which is a good thing, and still not hear it heart-wise. You can become a scholar, and there have been. There have been. Years ago, I don't know if they're still in effect, but there was this group called the Jesus Council. You know, just the words, man, that must be something. The Jesus Council. You know? But they were a group of men who every so often would take the scriptures and they would take things that Jesus said and they would put them on a list and said, well, we don't believe he said that. This column, he might have said those things. Those things he did say. They didn't get it. They didn't get the whole thing. They're just going, you know, intellectually, scholarly. Not understanding that because of their sins, they're on their way to hell. They're worrying about what he said and what this is not, this is. Come on, man. It's good to know the Bible. But we have the example of the guy who was crucified next to Jesus on the cross. He didn't even get to read the Bible. He didn't get an evangelism class. He didn't go to Bible college. But he confessed his sin on the cross when he told the other guy, you know, listen, we belong here. He doesn't. He's innocent. He was making confession of his own sin on the cross. And then he recognized Jesus for who he was. And then he went and asked him about being with him in paradise. And Jesus said, "You'll be with me in paradise." All because he knew his heart. He heard his heart. New Testament wasn't even written yet. But he knew enough, heart-wise, to know what to do. And we'll see him in heaven. And the rest of verse 10. Paul writes, "For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit of who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God." So what Paul is saying here is that there is no one more qualified to tell us about God than the Spirit of God himself. And that is the job of the Holy Spirit. Let's go to the left into Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11, verse 33. And Paul again writing, he says, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out." Okay. So because God speaks to us through his Spirit and his Word, we have been given God's wisdom from the very highest source. It is the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, who teaches us the gospel, the good news of God. And no one ever hears the gospel and believes it and is saved unless the Holy Spirit has been at work in their heart. Let's go to Gospel of John, chapter 14. Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 16. You see all these pages are in red. That's all Jesus' words. And let me say something else before. I just came to my mind. So I was talking about that Jesus council, right? They would put things that Jesus said that are not maybe or are. And we see Jesus' words in red here, right? He spoke. But actually, the whole book, from the first word to the last word, are his words. That is the word of God from cover to cover. Jesus was God. This whole thing is God's word. So much for putting what he did say or didn't say. But anyway, Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 16. And Jesus, he tells the disciples, "And I will pray to the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. And I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you." So Jesus is trying to tell them, like, you know, he's going to be gone. He's going to leave this earth. And he's not going to leave them orphaned. That's why he sent the Holy Spirit on Pentecost that day. when they were in the upper room. And that's why he sent the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit can be everywhere. He can be in you, and in me at the same time. And millions of others. Well, Jesus couldn't do that physically, could he? He couldn't be everywhere, but the Holy Spirit can. So he says, the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. Now, verse 26. He says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all the things I said to you. And that came to pass because, you know, these guys walked with Jesus for 3 years. And he taught them a lot of things that went over their heads. They didn't know what he was talking about half the time. I mean, it doesn't say it, but I'm sure he said a lot of times, oy vey, you know, like, come on, man, these guys, you know, get with the program. But we see in Acts when the Lord is gone and things started to make more sense and they understood the scriptures after they received the Holy Spirit and they were like, go through the scriptures. Oh, that's what he meant. Oh, that's what that is. That's what he was talking about. That's what he's saying here. He will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all the things I said to you. And it's the same thing with us. As we study the Word, things will come to our remembrance. Certain scriptures. Now, chapter 16 of John. John chapter 16, verse 13. Jesus still continuing to speak. He says, however, when he... Okay, he. The Spirit of God is a he. Holy Spirit is a he. Another person of the Trinity. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. And he will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Okay. So Jesus said the Holy Spirit would live in us and help us to know the mind and heart and wisdom of God. How do we know God's heart? Through his word. How do we know God's wisdom? Through his word. How do we know God's mind? Through his word. That's why we study the scriptures together. Right? Sunday and Wednesday evening. You know, we continually see the Holy Spirit literally at times makes the scriptures come alive to us. And even after reading scriptures a number of times, different books, sometimes things come out that we didn't see before that we learn and like, wow, never really thought of it that way. But back in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, chapter 2, sorry, verse 13. He's talking about the wisdom of God. He says, these things we also speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Okay? So Paul's word had authority because the words, the source of them were the Holy Spirit. Paul was not merely giving his own personal views or impression of what God said. He was under the inspiration and direction of the Holy Spirit. And so he spoke and he wrote the very thoughts of the words of God. But I love how here he talks at the end, he says, we also, these things we also speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches. But this last part here, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now, some Sundays we don't do it a lot, but you just saw, we went into other scriptures, right? bringing them into the scriptures that we are in 1 Corinthians. We're comparing what? Spiritual with spiritual. That's why, you know, I love doing that, because we make a connection that the whole Bible is connected. There's 40 different books, but they're all connected in a way. And so when we jump around a little bit and look at different scriptures, it helps us to understand God more and God's word more. Verse 14, he says, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So, in contrast to the Spirit, to the believer who receives the Spirit of God, he speaks of the natural man who does not receive the things of the Spirit of God and does not accept the gospel or the message of the cross. And Paul goes on to say they can't even understand the gospel. And maybe we could relate. Maybe we were like that at one time. Many times I heard growing up, the Bible's too hard to read. You can't do it on your own, and this and that. It's a lie. Where's that lie coming from? Enemy, say anything to keep us out of God's word. Right? Absolutely. Sure, there's some difficult things in the scriptures, but so what? We try to use God's word to confirm things again. But it's not, again, it's not a matter of religious training or Bible education. Okay? He says, we know these things because they are spiritually discerned, and God has given us the Holy Spirit. That's why these things come to life, and this is why we understand them, if we have the Holy Spirit within us. You know, so it's not a matter of religious training or Bible education. And Paul, he knew that more than anyone, because he was a devout Jew, deeply religious, committed, sincere, and he had a 4.0 GPA in Old Testament studies. He said he was a Pharisee of Pharisees. You know, one of the most religious guys there was, and scholarly, knew the Old Testament. Yet he was dead wrong about who Jesus was, and he was dead wrong in how to obtain salvation, even with all that Old Testament knowledge. Then, even while Paul was persecuting Christians, Paul took it another step. He persecuted Christians, threw them in jail, had them punished and tortured. When Stephen was martyred, he was there cheering him on. And he was on his way to Damascus to get Christians who had fled there and bring them back to Jerusalem to punish them. I mean, that's a lot of hate, don't you think? If you're going to go out of town chasing people who ran away, you know, I'd be like, go ahead, let them run away. No, he pursued them. And on the way, did God strike him dead? No. He struck him, but he didn't strike him dead. He struck him alive because he knocked him off his horse or whatever and showed himself to him. In all that, he was the Osama bin Laden of that day against Christians. And God had a plan to use him. And we're reading his words now. That's why. That's why. So when Paul met the Lord that day on that road to Damascus, everything suddenly and drastically changed. And the things that he once thought gave him favor with God, he now thought of it as dung. You know what dung is? It's animal excretions, dung. That's what he thought, all that stuff that he had learned, even though it was good, but that's what he thought he was trusting in. And Paul became a new man in Christ. He had come to know God through his Spirit, through the Holy Spirit. And the only way this kind of wisdom can be known is for men to trust in the Lord Jesus so that their spiritual eyes may be opened to the things of God. You know? And again, you know, it's a wonderful thing to have your eyes open to the Spirit of God and His Word. Amen? Amen. But we don't want to use that. We don't want to look down on other people whose eyes are not opened yet. Because then we become like the Pharisees in the Scriptures, like Paul. Look down on other people because they weren't Jewish. They didn't know God. You know, so that's one thing we got to be careful of. Because we never know who God's going to use. I mean, if God can use Paul and make him an apostle and have him write most of the New Testament that we study almost all the time, he can use anyone, don't you think? Absolutely. Who couldn't he use? Who couldn't he use? The guy was a murderer. And he says in verse 15, but he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. Okay, so Paul's not saying that every Christian is above criticism, because a lot of this letter is criticism of these believers in the church of Corinth. His point is, because the natural man's condition, they're not equipped to judge a spiritual man. Again, I get people online all the time, you know, that I believe in the guy in the sky, you know, sky daddy and all this stuff. And sometimes I get irked. You know, but they don't know God. They don't know him. But he's saying they really shouldn't judge him. How are they going to judge spiritual things when they're not spiritual? They're trying, right? They don't understand spiritual things. Like at one time, we didn't. I was out in the world doing my thing. Just like Paul. Not to that extent. But in 16, verse 16, he says, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? I even hear people, they even try to judge God and tell him what he can and cannot do and say. You know, people say if he's a loving God, he would never send people to hell. Does God send people to hell? Not according to his word. They send themselves. He didn't make people sin, does he? No. He talks about that in the Gospel of John. They condemn themselves. You ever hear somebody say, well, when I see God, I'm going to give him a piece of my mind. Okay. I don't want to be there for that. First of all, if you have that kind of attitude, you're not going to be standing before him in heaven. You know, you'll be standing before him at the throne of judgment, and it's going to be no joke. No joke. You know, Christians are not going to be at that judgment. Why? Because our sins have been judged already. And they've been paid for. By who? the Lord Jesus Christ. We broke God's laws. He paid our fine that we owed God for all those sins. He took every single one of them, took the guilt of those, and took the punishment, even though he was totally innocent. But Scripture says we will be judged. Christians will be judged. How? For what we did with our Christianity. What were we doing with our Christianity? What did we, that foundation of Jesus Christ, what did we build on top of that? Right? Jesus is our foundation. What are we building on top of that? Not calling everybody to be a preacher or this or that, but you know, what are we doing with our Christianity? That's what we're going to be judged for. Doesn't mean we're going to lose our salvation. So again, to have the mind of Christ here, he says at verse 16, but we have the mind of Christ. To have the mind of Christ means to have the Holy Spirit in us, which allows us to see life from God's point of view. Right? That's where we want to see things, not just through glasses. I still can't see, but to see things through God's eyes. And it's a challenge sometimes with all the voices in the world, all this stuff we hear. It's tough to filter it out sometimes and hear God. And he says, be still and know what? That I am God. Sometimes it's hard to be still and quiet and hear from God. But we want to hear from God. And that's why we're in his word. And that's why we're here today. And hopefully we did hear from him today.